The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled America, According to Kwame, From Kingston to Negril. In Louisiana, he discovered where Mardi Gras rose to prominence. With his grandfather, he visited Trinidad and Tobago, stumbling upon a roti shop in the mountains on the way to Maracas Beach. They had every single type of curried filling to go into this roti, he says. Everything from liver to duck to lobster to conch to chicken to goat to pepper, everything. This kind of food, he says, is wise with an imitatable story. The visit to that roti shop was a reminder for him of his purpose for the cookbook and for his journey. I just thought, this is probably one of the best restaurants in the world, tucked away in this little mountain that no one really knows about. And that moment further enriched my duty and obligation to tell that story. The next article is titled Freedom Food. Nicole Taylor reflects on her Juneteenth journey and how her love of Black celebrations and the fare made for them led her to write the first cookbook honoring the national holiday. Before Juneteenth was made into a federal holiday in the United States, in 2021, many thought the date was celebrated only by folks who lived in Texas. It's true that since Union troops arrived in Galveston Bay on June 19, 1865, and announced to more than 250 enslaved Black people that they were actually free, Juneteenth has been a staple of the Black Texan experience. But thanks to the Great Migration, Juneteenth festivities have been a presence in parks and backyards around the country for years. The very first time that I commemorated Juneteenth, I was in New York, says writer and author Nicole Taylor. More than 10 years ago, she found herself attending the festivities at a park in Brooklyn. Though she was raised in the South, in Athens, Georgia, and lived in Atlanta for 13 years before moving up north growing up, I don't even think I heard the term Juneteenth, she says. However, in that tree-lined park in Brooklyn, as Black children rode horses and people celebrated freedom, Taylor was immediately inspired. It was a very simple, very nimble, yet proud and strong version of Black people doing their own thing on a Saturday, she recalls. That's what I remember most, is that things don't have to be big to be impactful. Every year since, she has hosted or participated in a Juneteenth event somewhere in the country, whether in New York, Georgia, or Texas. She's sought to recreate for family and friends the Black joy she first witnessed more than a decade ago. A big part of that joy is food, which Taylor knows a lot about. A James Beard Award-nominated writer and cookbook author, she released her first work, The Up South Cookbook, Chasing Dixie in a Brooklyn Kitchen, in 2015 and 2017. Her New York Times article about Juneteenth connected her name to the annual observance. Taylor soon found herself being asked to help bring a niche holiday into the mainstream consciousness. People started associating Juneteenth with me. And then, pretty much every year after that, I wrote about Juneteenth for some publication, she says. Her literary agent encouraged her to consider a cookbook based on the holiday. Though she initially had reservations, when the pandemic hit, she had a change of heart. The grief surrounding the killing of George Floyd, as well as the uprisings in support of Black lives, made it all the more necessary to shed light on Black celebrations, especially in the midst of Black pain. I thought about how Black people's sorrow is often booked in with celebration. It reminds me of a Black repast, right? Somebody dies in your family, and for 2 or 3 days, everybody's gathering. Sometimes there are people you're meeting for the first time, or you haven't seen them in years, and you're all mourning, but it also turns into a joyful family reunion, she says. That is the most basic expression of Black people and Black Americans. We take something that is so serious and sacred and so sad, and we find a moment just to be with family and just to think about the goodness in people that we love. When Juneteenth was made a federal holiday by the Biden administration a year later in June 2021, Taylor decided there was no better time to write a cookbook about Black America's June 19th traditions. Having left New York City during the pandemic to return to her roots in Athens, she began work on what would become Watermelon and Red Birds, an essential cookbook for the Juneteenth holiday, which is due out on May 31st through Simon and Schuster. Inspired by the creations of food writer Jessica Harris and chef Brian Terry, Taylor crafted the first cookbook to celebrate America's second Independence Day. She highlights new and standard dishes eaten on the holiday, sharing the best tools, finest flavorful seasonings, and most important pantry staples to create them. Every recipe is a fresh spin on traditional fare consumed at festivities year after year. For instance, for the signature red drink to symbolize the blood shed by our ancestors, she decided, okay, I'm doing a whole chapter on red drinks. It includes a homemade Kool-Aid, a maroon margarita with a strawberry base, a savory miso Bloody Mary, and a sweet Afro egg cream with hibiscus tea, simple syrup, half and half, and seltzer. Another must at any Juneteenth gathering is something smoking. You've got to have some kind of food on the grill, Taylor says, noting that it doesn't always have to be red meat. I didn't do a regular beef burger. I did a chicken burger, and I wanted to make sure the chicken burger was juicy. I chose that because you've got so many people now who aren't eating red meat. But those who haven't sworn off red meat are still covered, as Taylor pays homage to Texas barbecue. I did a beef rib on the grill and a bunch of barbecue sauces so people can kind of mix and match. She also includes mouth-watering grilling recipes for lamb chops with pitted apricot, a classic ribeye steak, and even oysters on the half shell. There are also festival-inspired treats and desserts sure to please everyone. And she didn't forget the sides, including the controversial potato salad. I definitely had to touch on the potato salad, she notes, because who made the potato salad is the first question everybody's going to ask when they start looking at it on Juneteenth. Everything is offered mindfully. For example, if you don't have access to a charcoal or gas grill, the meats can be made in an oven or on stovetop. Every category of food is introduced with a history lesson, a laugh, and all the information needed to truly appreciate the individual dishes and the holiday as a whole. Taylor's hope is that the 200 pages of Watermelon and Red Birds will center Black celebrations, Black creations, and Black life, with food as the gateway to all that. in the United States, and more specifically in the American South, if you start looking at what people love the most, it is the black hands that shape our culture and tradition, she says. So the more we center American food and talk about enslaved people and free people like our grandmas and our mamas and how they moved in the kitchen and what they made, the more people will appreciate black Americans' contributions to the America that people love. In the end, she says, I have tried to give the reader or the person cooking more than just recipes and more than just black food history. I've tried to give them a peek into contemporary and futuristic black life. The next article is titled The Essentials. Nicole Taylor riffs on the flavorful offerings you must bring to the picnic table this Juneteenth. Red drink or bust. What are we drinking? I think that's the first thing I think about, Taylor says. She mentions portable options like her sweet potato spritz made with sweet potato syrup, sparkling wine, and vodka. And something everyone can make easily is her Kool-Aid inspired drink. It's dried fruits pulverized down into a powder with sugar, she says, from which you can make strawberry lemonade, a spoil-free salad. As much as I love potato salad, I'm always very concerned about it spoiling from being left out, particularly when it's hot, says Taylor. Instead, she recommends a tomato eggplant salad or one of her other easy peasy alternatives. I would try to pick a salad that was a little bit more portable, like the summer peas, green beans, and corn salad. That's a perfect salad that won't spoil at room temperature. And if you have a cooler, it's just really easy to have in a container. Grilled goodness. While burgers are always welcome, roasted mushrooms are something different to bring to gatherings. However, Taylor says you can really impress with lamb. If you're doing a picnic, the lamb chops can be thrown on the grill, and you can also grill the apricots and bring the chimichurro to go on the side, she says. If you just want to bring everything up a notch, I totally recommend you go with the lamb chops. The next article is titled, A Mother's Love. Ahead of Mother's Day, singer Jillian Hervey and mom Vanessa Williams discuss ways their bond has been strengthened by their new roles as mother and grandmother. Having given birth to a baby boy this past December, Jillian Hervey, frontwoman for the R&B duo Lion Baby, is looking forward to celebrating her first Mother's Day. It will also be a special time for her mother, actress and singer Vanessa Williams, who will be celebrating as a first-time grandmother. Ahead of the holiday, mother and daughter came together over Zoom to talk about how their new roles have changed them and influenced their relationship. I've just literally been in my house with this baby and my puppy all of the time, says Hervey, 32, while holding her infant son. She says the birth of Sunny Rise Goodman has helped her find a new rhythm in life. I'm cherishing it because everyone always says it flies by, she adds. Just seeing how much he changes every day and bonding with him, I think it's been so special and rare to have this pace of life right now. So I'm just trying to savor it all. William says it's been a great joy not only to connect with her grandson, but to watch her daughter, the second eldest of four children, embrace motherhood so naturally. Jillian is very maternal, the 59-year-old says. She's always been very caring and attentive. She's a great cook and baker, and she loves to entertain and host. So I knew she was going to be a great mother. Hervey leaned on her mother for advice before giving birth, and she still does. Since the baby arrived, the two have communicated even more often. They FaceTime and text multiple times a day, and Williams tries to visit her daughter and grandson at least once a week. She seeks to provide Hervey with wisdom about mothering, but also to give her space to become her own type of parent. I didn't want to be too heavy-handed, but I would definitely share my experience and, if there was any kind of stress, try to quell that anxiety, Williams says. She knew that I was there for any questions and if she needed me to jump in for anything. Only those closest to Hervey knew she was pregnant, and it stayed that way until January, 1 month after she had given birth to Sunny. Her new motherhood stunned her fans, who not only hadn't known she was expecting, but had no clue she'd been dating her child's father, Lion Babe bandmate Lucas Goodman, for years. She finally shared the news on social media through a photo of herself standing in front of a gold backdrop. She held her swollen belly, which was adorned with a painting of a golden sun, as the duo single Radiant Child played in the background. As perfect as this was, the song and the album it came from, Rainbow Child, were titled before the couple knew they were having a baby. Hervey was initially hesitant to reveal that she'd given birth. Our concerns for her music career and privacy. It was one of those moments where you build up this whole idea of what it is going to mean to everyone else. All this pressure that it's going to shift my identity and they are going to look at us differently. Hervey recalls, I think the longer I waited, the heavier it got for me. But the public reaction was the complete opposite of what she had feared. I'm so happy everyone was happy, she says. It was funny watching people in the comments say, I knew it! For Williams, the first person in her friend group to have a grandchild, it was challenging to keep Hervey's pregnancy under wraps, as it was a pivotal moment in her life as well. Still, despite her excitement, she respected her daughter's decision. She recalls that when she was expecting her first child in 1987, at the age of 24, she went about things differently. The former Miss USA winner was more public about her pregnancies and births, allowing occasional baby photos in the media. But while Williams had often lived a public life, she made sure to raise her children with an understanding of the importance of privacy and the stability that comes with it. My kids have been offered a lot to be in reality shows, she says. That would be an easy money grab, but you also pay a price when you lose your privacy. And is that cost worth it? So all four of my kids have wanted to keep their private life private. For her part, having a child has made Hervey more appreciative of her mom's parenting style. Williams moved the family to her hometown of Chappaqua, roughly 40 miles north of New York City, when the kids were preschool age. She wanted them to have a sense of normalcy, despite their mother's fame, and also for them to be close to their grandparents. I think you have to have a part of your life ground you and feel like it's yours, and it's sacred, and no one can offer their opinion, Hervey says. I definitely want to create both of those things for my son, too. I want to be able to take him to see all these amazing things and do all these amazing things. I also want to make sure he has a place that he knows, okay, this is my room. This is my bed. Sunny's birth has ultimately brought mother and daughter closer. The fact that she knows I will always be available for guidance forges a much deeper bond. And when you're dealing with creating a new life and trying to map out the world for a tiny human being, Williams reflects, with Mother's Day coming up, the two are still figuring out how they will commemorate the occasion. Williams is currently performing in the Broadway comedy POTUS, while Hervey is busy being a full-time mom. They hope to spend the day together, sharing in the awe at what they've accomplished. It's wonderful that she can enjoy her first Mother's Day this way, Williams says. I remember having my first child at 24 and saying, oh my God, how did my mother do this? You marvel at it like, wow, it's pretty amazing that you can maneuver and schedule and just function. But women have been doing it forever. I think more than anything, I'm excited to just have that moment, Hervey adds. This whole journey really makes you just appreciate mothers, your mother, and other people who go through this, and how it's such a beautiful thing and such a amazing sacrifice. The next article is titled, When Anxiety Attacks. It's one thing to feel worried, but it's another to feel like you can't breathe because of it. A psychiatrist helps us understand anxiety disorders. Anxiety is a normal and usually temporary reaction to stressful situations. However, if the feeling persists in a debilitating way, you could be dealing with an anxiety disorder. This is the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting over 40 million people over the age of 18. There are five major types. Generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and social anxiety disorder. Author Diana Gordon was diagnosed with general anxiety disorder, social anxiety, and panic disorder in 2013. My thoughts would be so overwhelming that I would feel it in my body, she says. While she has found ways to manage her condition, making simple decisions can still leave her feeling like she's suffocating. Tanya A. Royster, MD, psychiatrist and owner of A Better World, LLC, discusses how anxiety can show up in your life and treatment options to help people cope. Essence asks the question, what is anxiety and what is a panic attack? Are they the same? Tanya A. Royster, MD, replied, anxiety is completely normal. Our bodies need a little bit of it to function, but when that anxiety becomes too intense, that's when we have disruptive symptoms. They could be cognitive symptoms that involve your mind going over the same thought obsessively, or physical symptoms like having trouble breathing or feeling your heart racing. A lot of people also have symptoms in their gastrointestinal tract, which means they might feel nauseous or have diarrhea. A panic attack is just one type of these anxiety. It's a discrete episode of intense, overwhelming emotion in which your breathing escalates and your heart feels like it's about to burst because it's beating so fast. It can also involve depersonalization, where you feel as if you're watching your life like a movie and can't remain in contact with yourself. A panic attack is usually relatively short in duration, typically lasting between 5 and 10 minutes, but for some people it can go on for up to 30 to 60 minutes. Essence asks the question, when is anxiety a cause for concern? Royster responds, if you think about it, we've had feelings of anxiety our whole life, such as when we have a test coming up or we're going to meet our partner or significant other's family. A little anxiety is good, but if anxiety starts to consume a significant part of your energy or to impact your ability to do the things you want to do, and you start not participating in your own life, then it's time to seek some help. Essence asks the question, how are anxiety disorders treated? Royster responded, there are two main categories of treatment. One is psychotherapy, which is talk therapy, and the other is psychopharmacology, medication management. If you are having a panic attack or other acute symptoms and just want to stop them, you might be prescribed medicine. Some people also use antihistamines. Essence asked the question, how can people manage panic attacks? Royster responded, when you notice the anxiety, start doing breathing exercises, counting or meditation to help reduce symptoms. Make that panic attack shorter and prevent it from coming on full force. It's best to be guided in that work by a trained therapist. Essence asks the question, what are coping mechanisms for anxiety and panic attacks? Royster responded, the most important coping mechanism is self-care, like paying attention to your breathing and taking in the fresh air. If you are a spiritual person, you may pray or meditate. Every day, do something that rejuvenates you and restores your spirit. The next article is titled, Get Back Out There. Here are five destinations for Black travelers to explore this summer. 1. Maldives. It seems that every Black influencer or celeb on our social media timelines has escaped to the magic of the Maldives over the past year. From Farai Island's first Ritz-Carlton property to JOALI Sustainable Glamour to the classic luxury of Soniva Fushi, these private island resorts offer no shortage of Instagrammable moments. Immerse yourself in the crystal blue waters of the Indian Ocean, enjoy fine dining, or just recharge your spirit on a pristine beach. You deserve it all. 2, Barbados. It's only right that in this pivotal year for our favorite bad gal, Black folks pay a visit to the island that brought us fashion and beauty goddess Rihanna. There's no better spot for your next Riri-inspired baby moon than this tranquil slice of paradise. First, set your bags down. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.